Amen. God is good. Who here, I know most people here are married. Who got married within the last, say, 12, 18 months or so? Come on, somebody must have. Did you guys have a rehearsal for your wedding? You did? You had, like, you know, and you got all the wedding party. And did you just, when you had your rehearsal, did you say to your bridesmaids and your groomsmen, just show up whenever you like for the rehearsal and just rehearse what you've got to do sometime before the wedding? No, that wouldn't work too well, would it? Never. So you got everybody together at an appointed time in one place and you had the whole rehearsal together before the real thing, yeah? Yeah, so did we. It's funny about that. Leviticus 23, God says this. He's speaking to Moses, and he says, these are the appointed times of the Lord, the holy convocations which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. The appointed times is the Hebrew word moedim, and that's literally what it means. It means a time appointed for a purpose. The word convocation is the word mikra, which means a rehearsal. It's a rehearsal. It's something which is proclaimed, something which is read, something which is you actively participate in preparation for something that's going to happen. So he says, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their time. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, which actually, it's not quite right, it's between the evenings, it's about 3 in the afternoon, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the first day you'll have a holy convocation, a rehearsal, and again on the 7th day. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 10, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you'll bring the sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest to the Lord, to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted, literally pleasing or delightful. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. In verse 14, you shall eat neither bread nor grain, parched nor fresh, until this same day, until you've brought the offering of your God. It's a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Now, God's instructions are always given for our benefit. They're never intended to be a burden. When he asks us to do something, it's to teach us something about himself, about Christ, or about his purpose for his people and his creation. Now, today is the day of first fruits. It's the day of the resurrection. But I can't talk about first fruits without first talking a little bit about Passover and unleavened bread, because otherwise first fruits has no context. Now, Passover is the feast of the redemption. It celebrates God's deliverance of his people from Egypt. Egypt is literally those who enslave, those who keep in bondage or rise up as adversaries. That's what the Hebrew word means. Now, I want to just talk a little bit about an ancient covenant ritual called the threshold covenant, because this is really important for understanding what happened in Passover. It was very common in ancient times, and even up to as late as the 19th century in many cultures, not in Middle East, Africa, Asia, many cultures around the world, that if you wanted to welcome a visitor into the home, they would literally kill an animal or a fowl at the threshold of the entrance door. Everyone understands what I mean by the threshold. It's that bit across the bottom of the bottom of the door frame. They would kill the animal and they would allow the blood to run onto the threshold. And then the visitor would step over the threshold, over the blood, and come into the home. And in doing so, they were accepting the offer of covenant from the owner of the house. So if I've come into your house and you've killed the animal and I've stepped over the threshold, I'm now in covenant with you. And you are duty-bound to protect me even with your life if necessary, and vice versa. So when God says to Moses, tell the people of Israel to take the lamb and bring it into their home, and they are to kill it and put the blood. I want to show you this. Let's go to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, he says, you kill the blood, kill the lamb, and take the hyssop and dip it in the blood that's in the basin. The word basin is actually the Hebrew word saf, and it means threshold. A lot of times they would have a depression in the threshold that they would allow the blood to collect in. And so they would take the blood from the threshold and put it on the doorpost and the lintels. This word, incidentally, is the same word that's used in Zechariah 12:2, where it says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup, a threshold of trembling for the nations. You know, when Jesus was crucified on the Mount of Olives, the rabbis say that that is the threshold of the world. And every nation that has come against Israel has come from the east, come over the Mount of Olives to take Jerusalem. And East Jerusalem today is the most disputed piece of ground on the face of the earth. And every kingdom that's come against Israel's perished. Because God is duty-bound by covenant to protect them, and I'll show you that in a minute. But they come across the threshold. You know, if you know what Jesus said? He said, if someone comes into the house through the window, it's not someone coming in being welcomed, it's a thief. The thief comes in through the window, because to enter the house any other way than through the door across the threshold was a sign of evil intent. To step on the threshold, to step on the blood, is a sign of evil intent, of rejection of the covenant. And that was punishable by death. Okay, so it says in Leviticus 12:23, after they've put the blood on the lintels and the doorpost and the threshold, it says this: for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door. In other words, he's passing over the threshold into the house, coming into covenant with those in the house. And he says he will not allow the destroyer to enter and strike you. In other words, God is now bound by covenant, by the threshold covenant, to protect those who are in the house, even at the cost of his own life. And is that not what he did 2,000 years later when he hung on the cross? He shed his own blood to protect and save his people. Okay, so God made covenant with Israel. Jesus fulfilled that feast of the Passover to the exact day, hour, and moment that they had been rehearsing it since the Exodus. And I'd love to share a lot more detail about how he did that and about all of the pictures, but we don't have time today. But now I want to move on to unleavened bread. The Passover meal was to be eaten with unleavened bread. The instructions are given in Exodus. You can read them, Exodus chapter 12. Now, they left in a hurry. After God killed all of the firstborn of Egypt, they were basically told, get out. Get, go. The Egyptians were terrified they were all going to end up dead. So they didn't have time to allow their bread to remove. And God had said to them, get rid of all of the leaven. Now, leaven is that which spreads, rises, puffs up, lifts up. Now, I've always been told leaven represents sin, but I don't think that's quite right. I think leaven actually represents pride. It represents self-righteousness, can represent false doctrine, things which puff up and lift up. And so unleavened bread represents putting all that away, dying to self. And also, because they were leaving Egypt, it represents a new beginning, leaving behind the old culture, leaving behind Egypt, and walking into what God has for us in the future. Now, isn't that applicable for coastlands today? I'm not saying the hill is Egypt, all right? Don't get me wrong, but this is the last Sunday that we'll have a service at the Hill campus. And we're now walking into a new era. And I think it's rather interesting that's happening right now during the feast, what is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So, a fresh start, new beginning, leaving behind the old and moving on. And that lasted for 7 days. So it's not just a one-time thing. It's a process. And the physical symbols, we've got unleavened bread here today, the physical symbols remind us of what is supposed to happen internally in here. We need to examine our hearts. We need to ask God to show us what's the leaven in my life that needs to go so that I can leave behind the old and move on into the new. Lastly, for today, we come to first fruits. Now, this is when the first fruits of the barley harvest were brought in. What would happen is, after the Passover lamb was crucified, the priests would go across to the Kidron Valley and they would mark 10 omer of barley in the fields on the Mount of Olives. And after the end of the Sabbath, they would go and they would harvest those 10 omer of barley and they would bring it back into the temple and prepare it. And the priest, the following morning, would wave the first fruits offering before the Lord. And that would signal then the beginning of the harvest. Now, Jesus, you remember that Mary went to the tomb early on the first day of the week while it was still dark and the tomb was empty. And she bumped into this guy in the garden who initially she thought was the gardener, but it turns out it was Jesus. He said, "Don't touch me." Why? Why was she not allowed to touch him? Because he had to present himself to the Father as the first fruits of the resurrection. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. And it also, first fruits also signifies the beginning of the count of 50 days to Pentecost. It's the count towards Pentecost. It's bringing in the harvest and looking forward to what God is going to do at the Feast of Pentecost. And that's a study for another day. Now, how does all of this relate to us? Now, there are 7 feasts that God gave instructions for in Leviticus 23. Are they still relevant today? Should we even bother about them? I mean, those instructions were given to Israel nearly 4,000 years ago. What's the relevance for us today? Well, Exodus is pretty clear that it wasn't just the natural-born descendants of Jacob that came out of Egypt. It was a mixed multitude. And biblically, Israel is anyone who joins themselves in covenant to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anyone who joins themselves in covenant to the God of Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob. And that includes everyone who's sitting in this room. Okay, Paul says there's no longer Jew and Gentile, male, female. You're made one in Christ. Okay? That's in Galatians 3. In Ephesians 2, he says, "You who were once strangers have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. We're now heirs of the promises that God made to Abraham." He says, and I've lost it. In Galatians, "If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring." Okay, so God said that all these things were forever. They were to be observed forever in all your generations, and that we were to teach our children as if it happened to us, as if we were the ones who were delivered out of Egypt. Now, Jesus was the fulfillment of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. But I believe there's still a future fulfillment for these feasts as well. As it says in the book of Hebrews, the shadow pictures of good things to come. That's a study for another day as well. But how do we overcome? I mean, we live in a secular society. We've got the pressures of the world every day. How do we overcome that? It says this in Revelation. It says, They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb poured out on the threshold, and God coming into the house and coming into covenant with us. And the word of our testimony that God delivered us from Egypt, and he continues to deliver us day by day by day as we walk in, as we put away the leaven and we walk in newness of life in Christ. Today is the day of first fruits. It's the day of resurrection. It's the day of new beginnings. So consider the covenant. Today might be the day that you enter into that covenant for the first time, or it might be a day of renewing the covenant if you need to. But I'd encourage you to examine your hearts. Purge the leaven. Take hold of the promises of God. And choose life. Now on the night that Jesus was betrayed, before he was crucified, he was reclining with his disciples and is explaining all of the things that were about to happen. And he took the bread and he blessed it. And he would have prayed these, he would have said these words, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, Moti lechem min ha'aretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And then he gave it, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this is the new covenant. He said, this bread is my body broken for you. When you do this, you remember me. You memorialize me. And then he took the cup. And again he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam. Borei pri hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, who King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And he shared it amongst his disciples. He didn't take of it. He said, I won't drink of the fruit of the vine again until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. But he said, this is my blood poured out for you. When you do this, you remember me, you memorialize me. And Paul said, as often as we drink, as we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we proclaim his death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of God, of the Lord, in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And this is the lesson of Passover and of first fruits and of unleavened bread. So as we take communion this morning, let's remember those lessons, that he delivered us out of Egypt, out of bondage and slavery. That we're in covenant with him through the blood of the Passover lamb, through his blood poured out on the cross. Of unleavened bread, that we're leaving Egypt behind. We leave behind what's old. We walk into what's new and we are heading towards the promised land. And of first fruits, that he was raised from the dead. And therefore, we have this hope of resurrection in him.